praise the Lord. Amen. And the Lord bless each and every one. And we do give everyone a warm welcome in their service. In the name of the Lord. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. While I just give you a few announcements, praise God. And we know Brother John's over with Brother Frank preaching today. May the Lord bless him as a brother's prayer. And then Brother Andrew Beecham will be here on the 22nd of October. So pray for them meetings. 22nd of October. Maybe we'll have a Saturday night as well if everyone wants that. But we'll see a little closer to the time. And then I think Lennon Edwards still maybe in the US, praise God. And I was thinking, you know, as a brother said about the gender, you know, they've took something that Jesus said and perverted it. And Jesus said, in heaven they're neither male nor female, for they're out of the angels. But unfortunately, these fellas are not in heaven. They're on earth. And there's no question, you know, when you're born, and your mother and father knows, if you're a boy or a girl, there's no mistake in it. It's very clear. It's an absolute perversion of the devil what's happening today. And we need to take a stand for what we believe. A good stand and a firm stand. And not compromise. And as the old man said, come hell or high water, take your stand. No matter what happens, praise God. That the Lord bless each one this morning, praise God. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. And I want to preach this morning on Wednesday night. I was coming home and I believe the Lord blessed us Wednesday night. And I felt impressed to preach about the blood. Oh, I loved, you know. I said Wednesday night, and I mean it. I tell you, brothers, you might think I'm joking, but I'm not. You go on the websites if you want, and you'll see there's a need for men to preach the gospel. Amen. Well, they're saying lots of wonderful things, but they're not preaching the gospel. And I think that's sad. And I think it's the devil. Let's read verse 18 and 19. Just forgive me this morning. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, and without spot. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank thee and praise thee for thy mercy and for thy grace. Lord, we know no matter what the enemy sends, your word says when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against him. Father, I pray and anoint this preacher to preach the word of God. Lord, in my weakness, may thy strength come. For I know that in weakness, through Christ, we're made strong. We thank you for the valleys. For Lord, we'd never have knew the victory of the mountaintop if we'd never have walked up from the valley. But we thank thee for every victory in the Lord. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We thank thee for Calvary, for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that defeated the devil and every demon and demonic force, and you conquered death, hell, and the grave and triumphed over them in it. We thank you for it, Lord. Lord, I pray you bless thy people once again. Strengthen every feeble hand. Encourage everyone. Lord, and I preach about your blood. I know the power of God will come. And I take the promised Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. And I thank you, undertake for me. Bless Timothy, we pray. For others, Lord, that should hold the dead, bless them and touch them and strengthen them. And for the backslidden, restore them and renew them. And if there's any offended, oh God, touch their hearts. For thy grace, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. Bless Big John again, we pray, in England. Strengthen him. Bless the service even tonight as my dad would preach, if thou wouldst tarry. But Father, now we look to thee. in Jesus Christ's name. And I plead the power of the blood over this house, over my own self, and over everyone in it. I plead the potency of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. For I thank you, Lord, that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Bless us now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You know, one time Oral Roberts preached a great sermon called The Fourth Man. I don't know how many people's ever heard that sermon, but I can tell you it's one of the best sermons I've ever heard in my life. And he preached about the fourth man. But during the sermon that Oral Roberts preached about the fourth man, he told a story about a mountain climber. And he said that a mountain climber, when he's climbing a mountain, if the night time begins to fall on him before he reaches the top, he has to camp. But he says in camping, he has to find somewhere safe because of lions. And he told him in a part of the world where there's lions and things what could eat you. And he said the mountain climber will find a tree or a crevice in a rock somewhere off where a lion can't get him. And he says he takes his belt and he straps himself to the tree or the rock way up high for nothing can reach up to get him, because he knows he can't face the climb that night. It's too dark. And he knows he can do it the next day. And he says it's not important that he's uncomfortable during the night. It's not important that he's cold during the night. But the important thing is that he's there in the morning.
Yeah,
hallelujah.
Yes.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord deliver them out of them all.
Yeah.
Here this morning I want to take for the text from this verse, redemption by blood. We weren't redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but we were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I want first of all to see the effects of the blood of Christ clear in God's word. And the six things I want to say here first of all. Reconciliation through blood. Cleansing through the blood. Sanctification through the blood. Victory over Satan through the blood. Union with God through the blood. And life through the blood. All these six things can be summed up in one statement and in one saying: redemption by blood. Redeemed means to be bought back. Redeemed, something that was lost can be redeemed back. You know, like a pawn shop. You know, we don't have many of them here. There is some of them, but over in America there's lots of pawn shops. You can take a watch in and pawn your watch. You can get a card. You can go in and say, look, what did you give me for my watch? And he'll give you so much for your watch. And give you so many days to pay your watch back. If you don't pay the watch back within the so many days, he owns it. But if you pay it back and you go back with your payment and your little ticket that he gives you, you can redeem your watch back. You can get it back. It was yours to start with. But you see, you give it up. You give it up for a season because your difficulties are debt. And I'm just using the watch for example. But you see, God knew you from the very foundations of the world. And in the foremind of God, you were saved. You were redeemed from the foundation of the world. But there was a price paid to redeem you back.
Yes.
That was the blood of Jesus Christ. And he's bought you back. The Lord owns you. Don't think you own yourself. Don't think the devil owns you. If you're saved, the Lord Jesus owns you. He's paid the price for you this morning. The Lord owns for you. You're the Lord's possession. You're the Lord's property. And I tell you, the Lord looks after his own.
Amen.
I think it's wonderful when Brother Branham preached a sermon called The Deep Call to the Deep. And he stood and he preached that sermon. And he said, I see the mother eagle. And all the little eaglets climbing her back. And she brings them down to the green pastures. And he says he watched them through his binoculars. And he says as the mother eagle brought the little eaglets down to the green pastures and they jumped over back and they run about in the grass jumping and skipping, he says, I guess they were having a Pentecostal revival. But he says, I the brood. And he says, that mother eagle gave a scream, and those little eaglets ran in and jumped on her back. He says, perhaps they've been instructed to do that before leaving the nest. And he says, that mother eagle, those eaglets jumped on her back, and he says, she faced into the storm. Right up into the cleft of the rock with them eaglets on her back. He said, oh, so what if a coyote would come? And he says, you know, if a coyote came, that mother eagle would flog the coyote to death with her claws. And he says, just let someone touch one of God's people and see what the Lord will do. The word of God says, touch not mine anointed. The word of God says, do my servants no harm. The word of God says, a better millstone was put about your neck and you're cast into the sea and to touch one of the Lord's anointed. Hallelujah. You're redeemed by the blood of Christ this morning, and you're the Lord's property. The Lord loves you. I tell you, the Lord really loves you. I want you to see, first of all, and you must understand this morning, to get this full blessing and this picture of this blood. And there's three things here I want to talk about this morning, and I won't hold this long. The first thing is this: where does the power of the blood lie? Where does the power of the blood lie? The second one, what is the power of the blood accomplished? And the third one, how can we experience it effects? So you need to know where the power of the blood lies. You need to know what the blood's accomplished. Then you need to know how you can experience the effects of the power and the victory, the potency. You see, when you hear me talking about potency, I want to explain that. Because you don't know what I'm talking about. There's products, you know, and you could use them, and it takes a lot of them to do anything. They're not good products. They're useless. If you ever get a product and you just need a drop of it, you ever had a product, you just need a drop of it, and it works. You ever mix a solution and you just need a drop of something in that solution, and it works, to add to it. That means the potency of it, the strength of it. And there's nothing has the strength like the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the potency means, strength. There's no strength like the strength of the blood. The strength of the blood can cleanse all sin and from all unrighteousness. Not only can it clean it and cleanse it, but it casts it away into the sea of God's forgetfulness. No longer to be remembered against you no more. The sins of your youth are gone. And gone to stay. And don't care if the devil tells you about them. He's a liar anyhow. And he's the father of lies. I want you to see, for this power lies in Leviticus 17 verse 11. It tells us, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's Leviticus 17. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. The value of the blood corresponds to the value of the life. So the life of that bullock corresponds. You see, the blood of a bullock corresponds from a bullock. Now you think of this morning. You have to get this picture. When you think of it, you can read through Leviticus 4 verse 13 to 14. And verse 27, 28. Now the reason to read Leviticus chapter 4, verse 13 to 14 is that these people brought a sacrifice for their sin. And God accepted it. And it was a bullock. So you see, the bullock was accepted as a sacrifice for the sin. But yet the bullock's blood did that, but that bullock had no soul. No soul. So when the bullock's blood was shed, it went into the ground, it died, it congealed, it dried up, it wasted away. It could not do it again. It could only do it for one time. But the blood of Jesus Christ never congealed, it never dried. you have to see where this blood come from. This blood was God's blood. Superior to human blood. Superior to animal blood. You say human, yes. You should not explain yourself, brother. Every man's born a sinner. Every man born of a woman is you're born by sin. You're born, you're sheeping in iniquity. You're born a sinner. You come into this world a liar. The Bible says we did. Born in sin, sheeping in iniquity. We never had to be taught to tell a lie. We never had to be taught to think a wrong thought. It was there because of the fallen nature. We're fallen. Humanity was fallen. The nature's corrupted. It's hybrid, actually. You know that? People say, well, that boy was almost like a beast because it's mixed, you see. But this man, Jesus, had God's blood in him. This man, Jesus, never was born a sinner. This man, Jesus, was born without sin. Death had no claim in him. No hold on him. And his blood's superior to any other blood. There's no blood like the blood of Jesus. Praise God. The life of the flesh is in the blood. You can see it if a brother wants to turn it up. Leviticus 4, verse 13, 14, verse 27 and 28. And then if you go down to Acts. Look at Acts, book of Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, unto all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he have purchased with his own blood. You weren't purchased with the blood of a bully. You weren't purchased with the blood of an ordinary lamb or turtle dove or a pigeon. You weren't purchased with the blood that lasted for a season. You weren't purchased with the blood that lasted for that time. You weren't purchased with a life that could go into the grave and never speak again. But you were purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, which is all powerful, which is greater than silver or gold. Christ, God's blood. Supernatural blood. Supernatural blood. With supernatural ability in it. With supernatural power in it. That's the potency of the blood. The potency is it destroys sin. The potency is it destroys sickness. The potency is it conquers death. The potency is it conquers Satan. The potency is there's nothing on earth like this blood of Jesus. All powerful. Blood of Jesus Christ. And this blood can speak.
Yes, amen.
It can speak. It speaks over you.
Yes, thank you.
It speaks over you. The Bible says that the blood of Abel, the blood of Jesus, speaks better things than the blood of Abel did. Abel's blood spoke to God from the thorns when Cain slew his brother Abel. Abel's blood spoke to God from the thorns. God saw the blood. Jesus' blood speaks for you. It speaks for you when death comes to claim you. It speaks for you when sickness comes to conquer you. It speaks for you when the grave comes to hold you. The blood of Jesus speaks for you. You're marked for this blood. In the Old Testament, you know, they took the right ear or the thumb and they marked the right ear. And they could see the blood mark upon that person. They were marked and they could see them on the street and they knew they were marked because of the mark of the blood. They knew that they were them God's people. They were of that lineage, what they were born to be because of the mark of the blood. And God knows and the devil knows you because he can see the mark of the blood upon you. You have a tag, as it were, upon you. A blood mark upon you. You're of a pedigree stock. Natural stuff. You've been born again of an incorruptible seed which liveth and abideth forever. You're marked by the blood of Jesus. And the devil knows that mark. I want you to know he's afraid of it. He's afraid of the blood. Because the blood conquered him. The blood defeated him. And the blood undid all he did. Redemption by blood. I want to read you this morning. woman and brought forth the Son, Christ Jesus, tabernacled on earth. Amen. Then we are saved not by sacks of blood, but we are saved by creative blood. By God's own blood, Himself. He was the blood that was shed at Calvary's cross. There's why I have faith and salvation and divine healing. Because it was God's own blood that was poured out through His Son's veins on Calvary's cross. Amen? That's why we can stand in the face of opposition and say, it is a right. You know, you're standing. You know, get back to the basic facts to find out where it was. We're saved through the blood of God. Saved through the blood of God. You're not saved through the blood of a man. No ordinary man's blood can save you. But Jesus carried the blood of His Father. And the blood of His Father was God Almighty, the one that made the heavens and the earth, that made everything, that said let there be light. That blood was flowing in His veins. That power was flowing in His veins. The one that said, that spoke the word into being, the one that the devil must bow to, the one that made the devil, is the one we're talking about. The all-powerful, the all-knowing, Almighty God Himself. This is His blood we're speaking about. This is the highest form of life that you can tell me about. There's no form of life higher than this form of life. This is the highest form of life that there is. The blood of Jesus Christ. I tell you, the Bible says that the princes, the demons now talking about, if they had known, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. That's what it says. The bones of vice encompassed me about. That's demon powers. That's demon forces. They attacked him on the cross. They attacked him at the whipping post. They tried to kill Jesus ever before he went to Calvary, but they couldn't do it. God had a plan. God was going to fulfill His plan. That was a plan of redemption. And all this, all the preaching, and all we're going to do, it's all about Christ. It's all about redemption. The gospel's about saving a lost humanity. The gospel's about reaching a lost humanity. That's the gospel. The power of the gospel is not the power of the preacher. The power of the gospel is not the accuracy of somebody speaking and talking. What gives it its power? That's what gives it its strength. Because there's no blood like the blood of Jesus. I want you to see where this power lies. I hope you can get it. This power lies in the blood, because it's God's blood. Romans 6 and 3 says this: for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's wages for sin. Young people think, you know, I can do what I want. There's going to be no repercussion. There's going to be, you know, nothing done about it. There's a wages for sin. There's a wages for sin for every man. There's a wages for sin for every woman. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The devil pays wages, but they're bad wages. Death, wages of death, wages of destruction, wages of decay, wages of separation from family, wages of separation from home, wages of separation from God.
Yes,
the man that's without Christ is godless. Because he's godless, he's homeless. Because he's homeless and Christless, he's helpless. He's a lost man. He's a lost woman. He's a wayfaring on a road to destruction, on a road to death. And there's wages at the end of it. But Jesus Christ gives a gift. Don't pay it back. You don't work to get it. You come as you are. You come with all your baggage. You come with all your faults. You come with all your failures. And Jesus stands with His arms open on the cross. And He says, come on to me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden. Jesus loves you this morning. And he really wants to save you. And he really wants to deliver you. And you that saved this morning, the devil's a liar. Oh, it's give you a week of it. I know all about it. He'll try and explain to you why you're not saved. And he'll go into all the details in your own thinking. And he'll have you spend hours and hours going over nonsense.
Yes.
That he told you.
Amen.
God's word speaks.
Amen.
And God's word speaks clear. God's word says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God's word says in Ephesians, you who were dead, hath he quickened, made alive. For by grace he is saved through faith. Not none of it says. You say, brother, I have no faith. The devil told you that. He's a liar. You know the day and the moment you get saved, God gives you faith to get saved. Do you know that? Then once you're saved, you receive a portion of faith. For the Bible says in Romans, to every one of us is given a measure of faith. Let the devil do what he wants for that. But that's God's word. You've got faith. God wants you to know your faith. God wants you to know he's redeemed you. You're his. Oh, you're not the devil's. No. You're the Lord's. You're the Lord's possession. The Lord loves you. That's why sometimes when we try to do our own things, he chastises us. Because he loves us. He's our Father. And then we cry to him, oh my Father. Hallelujah. Praise his lovely name. Christ paid the penalty for sin by shedding his blood. He fulfilled the law and God was satisfied and glorified. In the blood of Christ there's power possessed like no other power. Power in the blood of Christ possessed like no other power. Full of potency. Here's my second thought. What is the power accomplished? In Hebrews 13 and 20, look what it says. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. I'll tell you what he's done. What this power has accomplished. This power has conquered death. That's what it's done. It's conquered death. God brought him again from the dead. Death couldn't hold him. Death couldn't conquer him. Death couldn't overcome him. Sure, he stepped into it. Sure, he took it. You know, it's like William Branham said about the bee with a sting. You know, the bees buzzing around. When the bee stings you, it's sore. But as soon as the bee stings you, he loses his stinger, he's dying. You know that. He's going to die when he loses his stinger. And Jesus took the sting of death at Calvary. So death is going to die. Because of Calvary. Because of the power of the blood. The blood opened the graves. You read in Matthew 27 verse 52. The graves opened. The Old Testament saints arose. They were held in a place called Abraham's bosom. There, Abraham's bosom was a place, a type of heaven if you like. But it wasn't heaven. It was a special prepared place for all the Old Testament saints. When they died, their souls were still living. They were in their place, God prepared, called Abraham's bosom. But they never could go no further than Abraham's bosom because they were waiting for Jesus Christ to be crucified. Doesn't the Bible say they could not be made perfect without us? But you know that grave could not be opened until the blood was shed. The door to heaven could not be opened until the blood was shed. But when the blood of Jesus Christ was shed, and the Bible says they saw them in the streets and in the cities. They saw them. That's what the power of this blood done. deliverance, it opened the graves. Praise God. This is what it done. Through the virtue of the blood of Christ was raised up. Remember that the life is in the blood. You remember the life is in the blood. Now you know there's no other preacher ever said this, but William Branham did. I never heard nobody else say it, but it's wonderful. He said when the first blood shell broke at the cross, the life of God was released. Then he shows us that that's that token life. Do you remember that Zoe, the word Zoe is a Greek word for that life. Zoe is a Greek word for that life of God. And that Zoe of God was released at the cross. When the first blood shell broke, the life of God, God's power, God's ability, God's authority, God's strength, God's virtue, God's victory was released when the first blood shell broke. One blood shell broken is enough to see a tumor. 100 worlds. Don't preach to me a limited atonement.
Amen.
I'll have none of it.
Yes,
met a man one time, he said, oh, but they can't perceive, they won't perceive. And he had it all figured out, who would come and who wouldn't. Was he God? Was he God? I want you to know this morning, I know God knows who's going to receive. God knows the ones that won't be saved, but I'm not God. He said to me, preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what he said. I want you to know there's enough power in the blood of Jesus not just to save this world, but to save 1,000 worlds. That's how I look at it. I don't believe it's limited. Let you could spend it all.
Amen.
What nonsense!
Amen.
You can't outdo it.
Amen.
Full of potency.
Amen.
God's
right.
Prophet knew that.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
That Zoe life with the power of the blood. Then he preached a whole sermon about the token. Apply the token, not just the chemistry, but the actual life of the blood is the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
The life of the blood. So Jesus shed his blood on the cross, and the life of that blood was released. Because remember, we read Leviticus 17, the life is in the blood. Now we're not talking about the bullock no more, we're talking about Christ.
Amen. Yes.
Now the life is released. What's it accomplished? It raised him from the dead. It'll raise you from the dead. Zoe life. Through the virtue of the blood, Christ was raised up. Remember, the life is in the blood of the life. Zoe, God's own life, the Holy Ghost. Let me read you Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. By the Spirit that will come? No, the Spirit that dwelleth in you. And the Spirit that dwelleth in you is the Holy Spirit, because you have been washed in the blood. You then are a person that can be filled with the Spirit, because the blood's cleaned you up. And the life for the blood will come to you. You get that? The life for the blood comes to you. That's the Holy Ghost. I tell you, this is more than just talking in tongues. When you read Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't mean talking in tongues. He means eternal life. He means you're of eternal life. He's not saying about talking in tongues. He's talking about the gift of the Holy Ghost is eternal life.
Yeah,
you don't need to speak in tongues ever. You can be saved if you never speak in tongues. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost and never speak in tongues. Tongues is only one of the 9 gifts. There's many wonderful men of God and women that never spoke in tongues, but they were real. Paul says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Don't forget that part. Didn't he say that? Don't leave it out. I tell you, what would it matter if we had every gift and no love for each other? what would it count for? He said, the greatest of all is charity, which is love. Love is the greatest. To love each other, to pray for each other, to seek to see a loved one, see it transformed by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm messing a lot of things out of this because I don't want to hold you too long this morning. Jesus took this thing out of death by plundering hell that it may populate heaven. You said he plundered hell. You know, one preacher, there's a fellow one time, he lent Brother Yule these tapes of this great man. Brother Yule, remember, I hope he doesn't mind me saying. We were driving along in the car and listening, and then all of a sudden he said something, and I'll tell you, it disturbed me greatly. He said Jesus had to go to hell to get saved. And as soon as that preacher said that, he was a false prophet. There's no return. That was it. The brother can tell you, he took the tapes, he gave them back to where they come from. Jesus never ever had to be saved because he was never lost. The Bible tells me he knew no sin. He had no sin. But he willingly, unselfishly stepped into death for you. He became sin. That means he challenged sin. Took it on. Challenged it. Stepped into that for you and for me because he had none of his own. So he said, sin and death. Here it is. Keys after them.
Yes.
The Bible says over in Revelations, behold, I am he that liveth and was dead.
Yes.
And I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Christ has them. The devil was stripped at Calvary.
Yes.
At the cross, Christ resumed glory to God. Full and total responsibility back of the devil. Jesus took full back off the devil for me and you. Because he loves us. He really loves us. Now I'm missing out a lot. But I want to get to my last thought and say a few things and we'll close. Because I won't hold you. And I have so many things what I could say about it. But I won't go into it all. Let me read you 1 Corinthians 15:47. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. He never came up. He came down. I want you to get that. The first man came up of the earth, but this man never did. He came down. He is the Lord of all glory. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Adam was made from the earth, and we all bear the image of the earthly, for we're like Adam. Our father, earthly father in a sense, is Adam. But Jesus was of the heavenly, not of the earthly. He came from above. He condescended. That means he lowered himself. He lowered himself a little lower than the angels, and he tasted death for you and me. Conquered it, defeated it. But here's something else the Word of God says. As we have borne the image of the earthly, Adam, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. One day we're going to be changed. One day we're going to be transformed, because this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. They shall be brought to pass the same. Death is swallowed up in victory. All because of the second Adam. Aren't you glad he's the Lord from glory? The Lord from heaven. Hebrews 9 verse 12 says this. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but basis, heaven obtained eternal redemption for us. Now the Bible says that the earthly tabernacle and the earthly Solomon's temple was but a figure of the true. It's just a type. So we know when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't take his blood and go back and rose in the tabernacle. We know he didn't take his blood and go back to Solomon's temple. We know that's not what it's saying. We know when it talks about the heavenly tabernacle, it's in the heavens. It's heaven. It's glory. And Jesus reached heaven with his blood and made the way open for me and you. He opened the door that was closed. The way was made back to the tree of life.
Yes, glory. Amen.
Oh, I can get that this morning. When God put Adam and Eve out of the garden, God set cherubims to guard the tree of life. Death if you were near it. Flaming swords. They guarded the tree of life. Do you know there was two trees in the garden? The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now you know one was Jesus Christ and one was sin. You know that? And they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then the Bible says, we shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Now it says, they did what God told them not to do. Don't touch it.
Don't eat of it. Don't partake of it. And then he said that he put the cherubim, lest they put forth and take of the tree of life and live forever. Now you can put forth and live forever. Jesus Christ referred to in Genesis as the tree in the midst. But when Jesus came and died willingly, excuse me, and he entered heaven with his own blood, the way was made back to the tree of life. No more cherubims or flaming swords to keep you from it, but the angels now usher you to it, because we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, the book of Hebrews tells us.
So now we can get to the tree of life, because Christ has made the way back. The devil took us away from it by the knowledge of good and evil, but Christ brings us back to it. That's the power of the blood. That's what it's accomplished. I'm closing just in a moment. Praise God. Having obtained eternal redemption for us, we know that in the Old Testament tabernacle, God manifested presence inside the veil. The high priest alone could enter there, but only with blood could he enter in, or he'd lose his life. The high priest could never go in without blood to the old tabernacle, or else he'd lose his life. That was a picture of the power of sin in the flesh, which separates us from God. The eternal righteousness of God guarded the entrance to the most holy place, so that no flesh might approach him. Now Christ appears in heaven for us, our high priest, we may now enter in boldly. I'm going to have to finish on this. My time's gone. It doesn't seem like it. I'm excited. Isn't there a different atmosphere in the service now? Amen? God's word does that. Nothing to do with a preacher, that's God's word. Don't you feel better now? Amen. You encouraged?
Amen.
I'm closing with this thought. Come in here, brother, and I'll use Matthew here for a moment. Now you just imagine Matthew is a priest. And Brother Anderson and Brother Gary get a rope with a tag on his ankle. And this is the door of the tabernacle and he has to go in. And now Matthew, everything's right, you've all the garments on. Because if you haven't, you're not coming out. Everything's right. And we send him in with a rope. Now remember, on the bottom of Matthew's garments is carbuncles and bells. Now when Matthew reaches the holiest of holy, he goes beyond the veil, then the next veil, into the holiest of holies. When he reaches there, we know he's safe, because I can hear the bells ringing. So I know that God's accepted Matthew. He's been through all the rituals. He's had the word. pull the rope out. You can sit down, brother.
And we pull the rope out.
And we have a dead priest. Now priests died.
Those priests that died, if they failed to do one thing, what they were meant to do in that process of preparing to go in, they were dead. Just one mistake, dead. But we have a more sure word. That's what Paul's talking about when he says we have a more sure word.
Because this priest had no mistakes, no flaws, no failures.
And he entered in once to heaven with his blood, and the bells are swinging in glory, announcing to you and announcing to me that Christ has been accepted, that the way to God is made clear for every sinner. And we can now enter in boldly by the new and living way
through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what the blood's accomplished for you this morning. A way back to God.
Joseph Smith never did that. Buddha, Allah never did that. They're all in a grave somewhere. No prophet either ever did it. Only Jesus Christ, God's Son, did it for me and you. I find no fault in him. That's what Pilate said. He was accepted
for me and you. Let's come and bow our heads. When every head's bowed and every eye closed, aren't you glad for the power of the blood? He has not redeemed you by corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood. Precious.
Oh, I think that's a wonderful verse. The precious blood. When something's precious to you, it's dear. It's close. It's near to your heart.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word giveth light. We thank you for your precious blood. And we plead that precious merits of that blood. And everyone in this room this morning, we plead the merits of the blood upon our children. Over all that's near and dear to us, we plead the merits of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ upon them all. Wash me afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than the snow. I thank you, Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as the wool. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Father, we confess with our mouths, we believe your word. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name. Bless and strengthen your people. Lord, if there's any in our midst downcast or discouraged, may you bless them and may you strengthen them. In Jesus' precious name. We ask again, has already been prayed for all those who slain aside sick. Father, we ask that you will have mercy upon them, and that from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, may they know the Master's touch upon their body and the virtue of thy blood upon them. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, bless the song leader as he comes. Bless your people as we go. And Lord, for tonight, if thou wouldst tarry, bless my dad as he opens your word. Strengthen him and bless your people. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless each one. God bless you.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, it reminded me of a sermon I heard one time of Ian Paisley, when he had said that was a standard verse of all the Bible. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. An evangelist verse. I know he told the story that there was a mission in hell, that when a woman come for salvation, and the scripture they used was that all that come unto me I shall no wise cast out. And this woman from forward to get saved, and she had a little child with her, little Jimmy he called him. And he said the next day when Jimmy came home from school, he found his brother crying at the kitchen table. And he said, "Jimmy, I'm not saved. God wouldn't save me. Filthy sinner like me, God wouldn't save me." And little Jimmy climbed up onto the kitchen cupboard, and he took out the Bible and turned it to John 6:37. And he said, "But Mommy, it's still in the book. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
All that come on to me, I shall have no wise cast out. No matter how you feel, it's still in the book. No matter how our feelings change, but God